We are raised by who we're raised by. We experience all different things in our lives, right? We have little bits of information coming from our teachers, our friends, our parents, our siblings, everyone in the world around us. Not just the people, but also the situations we're dealing with. If we were raised in poverty, that's going to affect the way we think. If we were raised spoiled rotten and we never needed for a thing in the world, well, that's going to affect the way we think. If our parents were hippies, if our parents were lazy, if they were possessive or controlling, all of those things are going to become part of who we are. As we grow up, we develop the ability and, in fact, the right, and I think the responsibility, to choose who we want to be. But before we become aware, before we wake up and we know that, we are quite literally, and even sometimes after we wake up and know that, we are quite literally the sum of our experiences. When you look at it from that perspective, we sort of, without even recognizing it, have a certain blueprint for ourselves, that we become exactly what we are sort of raised to be. Now, when we have a narcissistic parent in that mix, it really throws us off. So if we're being honest, part of the reason that we end up with narcissists is because we are people pleasers. And when we have been raised by a narcissist, if we don't become a narcissist, we tend to become the opposite of that, a people pleaser. Whether or not they're openly abusive, our narcissistic parents taught us that their needs, their desires, their wants, their standards were more important than our own, and we were required to somehow follow their rules. And if we didn't follow the rules and do what they wanted us to do, well, then we were inherently bad or unacceptable or, as always, not good enough. We, as empaths, sometimes we would end up becoming caregivers of our parents, where we, instead of getting the love that they needed to give to us or should have given to us, we would watch them and make sure they were okay, and we would, you know, take care of them, sort of almost like an extra parent. We would blame ourselves. We were consistently blaming ourselves, and if our father was anxious and stressed out and yelled at the whole family, it must be our fault somehow. If our parents got divorced, sometimes we would blame ourselves for that because it was easier for us to imagine that it must somehow be our fault and that we could try to do something to fix ourselves. And quite honestly, in some situations, our parents outright told us everything was our fault. Regardless of what your situation was, chances are you became a people pleaser and that you believed you were not good enough and that you also sort of were chronically blaming yourself for every single thing that went wrong in your life and your family's life. And in your desire to be loved as an individual person, you were also always trying to figure out exactly what you could do to make your parent love you. So maybe you thought, oh, if I was quieter, if I got better grades, if I took care of the dishes, if I did all the things I needed to do, if I did all the things that this person wants me to do, maybe I'll be good enough. Maybe they'll finally love me. And when that never happened, you just were persistently looking for love. And whether you admitted it to yourself or not, it was a thing. As survivors of this type of abuse, we very often blame ourselves for everything that has gone wrong in our lives, and we look for ways to make ourselves better, which in many ways seems to be the only thing that makes sense to us because our parents teach us that they're perfect or that they're near infallible, or if they are fallible, then it's our fault somehow. And maybe it just has more to do with the fact that we need to maintain hope. We need to believe that things are going to get better. And so if we can stay focused on how we can fix ourselves or what we could be doing better, maybe it's a little bit of how we survive. With that being said, I think it's important to talk about one more major quality that happens to kids who are raised by narcissists, and that is insecure attachment.
Attachment is defined as a deep and enduring emotional bond that connects one person to another person. Attachment theory basically helps us to understand our relationships and how our relationships with our mothers could affect us and our lifelong development, and even our relationships with others in really profound ways. In psychology, attachment theory, as we know it today, was first originated in 1958 when psychiatrist John Bowlby recognized the importance of a child's relationship with their mother. It turns out, he realized, that our emotional, social, and cognitive development are directly affected by our attachment to our mothers. Now, along with fellow researcher James Robertson, Bowlby found that children who were separated from their mothers would experience extreme distress. This would lead them to anxiety, and they assumed that this might have been related to the idea that their mothers fed and cared for them. But then they noticed that the separation anxiety would not diminish even when the kids were fed and cared for by other caregivers. Now, before this, the reason they thought this was because other researchers had sort of underestimated the bond between the child and the mother and assumed that the feeding of the infant was the thing that bonded the mother and the child. Well, Bowlby was the first to propose that attachment might be an evolutionary thing, as in, the child's caregiver is obviously the person who provides the child with safety, security, and food, so he thought being attached to the mother would increase a baby's chance of survival.
So first, I think it's important to define secure attachment, and that is our level of comfort with being attached to other people and trusting that that attachment is safe and okay for us. Dealing with having been abused or neglected or ignored, or dealing with, you know, an emotionally absent parent or a parent who didn't take care of us in some way, very often leaves us kind of flapping in the wind in our parent-child relationship. So when we go and we think about, as adults, getting into relationships with new people, other people, we are insecurely attached. We don't trust that attachment. So a couple of different things can happen. Either we can become the sort of people who refuse to connect to anyone and who just absolutely don't attach to people at all and who just kind of a lone wolf type of person, or we can go the other direction where we get someone, we attach to them, and we're like, nope, I'm not letting go of you. I'm holding on to you forever and ever and ever. This can actually go really, really far in the wrong direction if you're not careful. But one of those two things is happening. Either we're going to become avoidant of any sort of personal emotional connection, we're going to refuse to attach, that's called avoidant attachment, or we're going to be so excessively upset, nervous, anxious about it that we're going to do the anxious attachment thing, where we're going to just constantly be chasing love, chasing love, chasing love. One of my favorite movies was called Practical Magic, and these two sisters, they lost their parents, okay? They were raised by these two aunts. And in the movie, they're watching their two aunts from the stairs, you know, do some magic spell on some lady who's desperate to get this man back. And one of the sisters goes, I hope I never fall in love. She can't even imagine the horribleness of that moment. Why anybody would want to feel like that? Because this woman was feeling very desperate to get this man who wasn't available to her. And the other sister goes, oh, I can't wait to fall in love. See, so one sister was doing the avoidant, I don't ever want to be with somebody thing. And the other one was like, oh my gosh, I'm chasing love. That thing happens to us. So as we grow, as we move forward, as we seek new relationships, this becomes a problem for us. Whether you go with the avoidant attachment or you go with the anxious attachment, chances are it's not going to serve you well in relationships. When you were raised by a narcissist, very often you suffer many effects as an adult. It almost never feels like it quite goes away. But there's something you can do, and it's called reparenting. Listen to what Dr. Robin Breiman has to say about how to reparent yourself. It's good stuff.
So one thing I do recommend, I always talk about partnering with yourself, but people sometimes have a hard time understanding that. So I say, be your own best mommy or be your own best daddy, and talk to yourself. Let's say your inner child. Talk to this inner child like you would being your ideal parent. Be kind, supportive, calm, and help yourself cope, right? And take your mommy and daddy with you wherever you go. You're the adult now, and you have to take care of your own needs. And you can do it.
So what does all this mean? Are you just doomed to a life of miserable relationships if you don't have the secure attachment style? Well, I've got a little hope for you. As someone who's gone through narcissistic abuse, you'll be thrilled to know that there's something called earned secure attachment. That is good news, because there's hope for you yet. Like I've been telling you for years, it is possible to heal from narcissistic abuse and to create the life that you want. And studies confirm this, telling us that with intentional healing and focusing on creating the life that you want, you actually can develop something called earned secure attachment. At its most basic level, that means that you can sort of build a new attachment style that is healthier and better for you on every level. So in other words, it means you've done the work, you've managed to deal with and heal from any dysfunctional parenting or trauma you had growing up. Even better, you can do this at any age. Yeah, it's about taking the time to understand sort of where you came from and working to rewrite your story in the process.
I think you can kind of see where this is going, right? So if you want to change your life, if you want to stop feeling like you're dependent or like you're not good enough, you have to start with self-love. One of the most important things we must remember on every single level is, regardless of how you grew up, regardless of what your parents told you, regardless of what the narcissist told you, regardless of any of that stuff, here is the big important thing I need you to hear from today. You define yourself, and it's time for you to know that. It took me a long time to learn that I could define myself. It took me a long time to recognize that not only was I good enough, not only was I smart enough, pretty enough, whatever enough, but I could choose to be whoever I wanted to be. It didn't matter if it wasn't acceptable to a narcissist. It didn't matter if my mother thought it was a bad idea, or my brother thought it was a bad idea, or anyone else in my life thought it was a bad idea. Only mattered that it made me happy and that it wasn't hurting anyone else in the world. You know, it's all about finding what works for you, what feels good to you, and what makes your soul feel alive, what makes your heart sing, the thing that gets you going in the morning, or that could if you found that thing. It's all about loving yourself. Ultimately, it's all about loving yourself, and I didn't even really know what that was until I managed to do it. So I want you to start today, right now, by dropping all of that old junk, all of those old perceptions, those niggling voices in the back of your head that are telling you you're not good enough. That's not even you. That's somebody else's voice from the past echoing, all right? Let go of that stuff. Every time you hear yourself tell yourself I'm not good enough, you know, all of that, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not handsome enough, pretty enough, whatever, say no, that's not true. Psh, out. Get out, out, and focus on what you really do want. Focus on what you deserve. Focus on loving yourself and treating yourself in the same way that you would treat someone you love. Your child, your niece, your nephew, the kid you mentored in high school, whatever. Whoever you would be kind to, treat yourself just like that. If you can imagine your child coming to you, let's say if you had a child, and your child saying to you, you know, hey, mom or dad, this is exactly what I'm going through. And they explain to you exactly what you're dealing with in this moment. What would you advise them? Let's say you're going through a relationship with a narcissist and they're mentally, verbally, and otherwise abusing you. What would you say if your child came to you and said, hey, I'm being treated this way by this person who I love? What would you say to your child? Would you tell them, oh, just stick it out and stay, you're not worth it? Of course not. You would tell them to get their stuff together and get out of there and do what they need to do because they deserve better. Listen, you deserve better too. Please don't forget, you deserve better.
Now it's time for the question of the day. And the question of the day is,
if you found yourself with a narcissist, did you recognize that you were with a narcissist first and then recognize that your parents were also narcissists? Or if you were raised by a narcissist, did you end up with a narcissist? Or how did it all happen for you?
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, and share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm gonna leave for you right there and right there. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.